All right. Welcome in to the Other Football Podcast. Chris Chapman, Carson A. Merck, no Thomas Viola here today with us. I just want to let the beat grow a little bit. I feel like Eminem.
I'm not mad at you letting the beat ride a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good song.
I'm also not mad at Thomas not being here.
So. Yeah. Well,
that thing's good.
That's the funny thing, because I don't think you took as much joy in Newcastle coming from two goals down to beat Liverpool to beat Everton. Jeez, listen to me. I'll start over. I don't think you took as much joy in Newcastle coming from two goals down to beat Everton as he did in Everton drawing with Liverpool.
I would call that accurate. I think partially because I didn't watch the match live.
Yeah.
And so my co-site expert for the Newcastle site on FanSided was giving me updates because I was in California. And so it was like down 1-0. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
He's like, unbelievable. Down 2-0. And I'm like, unbelievable. And then I think I was away from my phone. And then I checked again. And he was like, 3-2. And I was like, oh, we lost 3-2. We came back, though. And then he was like, nope, we won. I was like, yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah, so I had to hit the LMAO at Thomas.
Yeah, that was pretty wild because I don't really know if he expected that. And, you know, the other thing is I don't think he would have taken as much joy had Everton won that game as he did in the draw with Liverpool.
Yeah, that's probably very, very likely.
Like, I still...
He lives despite Liverpool.
Yeah.
That is most of his existence.
And, you know, it's funny because, I'll be honest, I probably... Someone posed the question to me, and it's been discussed with one of the Golden Knights players, Paul Stastny, who is a big Man United supporter. And I haven't read the article yet, but apparently he's had a very difficult time with the fact that City and Liverpool are 1-2 in the table.
Conflicted.
And he does not know who he should root for because I guess it's a, you know, I guess it's a difficult thing. But I'll be honest, if Everton and Man United were at the top of the table, like they were 1-2 with 8 games left.
You'd pull for Everton, right?
Abso-freaking-lutely, yeah. I'd pull for Everton. There's zero doubt in my mind I'd pull for Everton. I'd probably pull for Everton over a lot of teams, to be honest.
Not Newcastle, though.
No, definitely not Newcastle. Like, if it was City and Everton at the top, I'd be pulling for City.
Yeah.
No. I'd take that back.
I was going to say,
I'd pull for Everton.
I wasn't mad at you for that.
Yeah. No, I'd pull for Everton. If it was Arsenal and Everton, I'd pull for Everton. Spurs I'd be a little conflicted on because Spurs hasn't won anything forever.
No transfers, no stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
They actually mentioned something about their stadium might be open.
We found out about that. And you know, we didn't mention last week either with Spurs. They will be without Pochettino in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Mm-hmm. He was suspended 2 games for disparaging a referee. And we could go into the Champions League. I think
I was going to say we could go into disparaging physically with the guy at the Aston Villa match that punched Jack Grealish.
Yeah, you know, and we will get into
that.
You
got to be just the biggest dumbass. Like, it's. I don't think anyone at the time thought, man, that was really cool that you did that.
Yeah.
And, like you're facing, he's facing jail time, 14, as he should.
14 weeks, I think.
Yeah, as he should.
And, you know, here's the thing. I don't think there's any Birmingham fans unless they're complete jackasses.
Yeah.
Because we'll set the scene. So Birmingham City, former Premier League club. They've been down in the lower levels for many, many years, probably about a decade or so, playing Aston Villa, another Birmingham City or Birmingham club. So this is the derby, Birmingham City against Aston Villa. Villa, of course, former Champions League winners, former Premier League champions.
Went from Champions League winners to the championship.
Yes, which is where they've been for the last 2 seasons, although they're playing better. I don't think it'll be too long before they're back into the Premier League.
Yeah.
But as it is, this is the Birmingham Derby. And in the match, I think it was at Birmingham, right? It wasn't at Villa Park.
Correct.
A fan rushed onto the pitch.
And sucker punched him.
Yeah, from behind.
Yeah.
As he was he setting up for a corner kick?
I think he had just taken a corner kick because he was walking towards the middle of the pitch.
Okay.
Or maybe they had won a corner kick and he was walking in to get into the box for the corner kick delivery.
Yeah.
Either way, he's walking away from the corner and some complete asshat runs on the pitch, like sucker punches him and pushes him down. And to that, when that happens, he should get his ass beat.
Yeah.
Like they should stomp him out immediately.
Yeah, like I can't imagine.
It should be full immunity for stomping him out at the time.
And because, you know, we've seen it in the NBA, right, many years ago. I guess it was about, 10, 12 years ago, the Malice at the Palace.
Yeah.
Where a fan ran onto there was altercations between fans and
I would have
players.
Pooped myself if I was in the stands and saw Ron Artest and Steven Jackson charging at me.
Yeah, I mean, Jermaine O'Neal was in the middle of that, too. I mean, he's a big guy. And the funny thing is, I've met Jermaine O'Neal, and he's a pretty mellow guy.
That's one where people, the casual fan, doesn't understand how big an NBA player is.
Yeah.
Because even, like, I remember, I think it was Amon Shumpert was talking about once. He's a shooting guard. I think he's, 6'4", 6'5". And so people look at him as, he's NBA... Not that tall.
He's 6'7" with the box.
Yeah, but
with the Bobby Brown haircut.
But
he's
6'7". In real life, if you see him, he's gonna be one of the taller people you've ever seen, if not the tallest.
Yeah, because 6'5" is no joke. I mean, here's the thing, right? And maybe people in Vegas can relate a little bit. Ryan Reeves plays for the Golden Knights. He's 6'4".
Yeah,
he's a big guy. There are guys in the NBA who make him look tiny.
Yeah,
I mean. When you get into 6'8", 6'9", that's no joke.
No, not at all.
Think about it. Ryan Reeves is a big guy. There's guys in the NBA, who are 6 inches taller than him, half of a foot.
I saw Boban yesterday against the Cavs make Channing Frye, who's 7 feet, look small.
Yeah, I mean.
He pushed him out of the way. Like, if you're a fan, don't mess with athletes. We've said it before as far as yelling stuff, especially racist stuff.
Which we saw in Utah.
Again, yeah. It's just don't yell stupid stuff and don't run on the field or the
yeah.
You deserve to get stomped out.
Like I'm one of those people who firmly believes if a fan runs onto the field or the basketball court or somehow gets onto the rink in hockey, that fan deserves whatever happens.
All bets
to them.
Are off, in my opinion. You should get immunity for that brief time.
Because here's the thing. You probably wouldn't I don't even know if you were alive, but I certainly remember it. Monica Seles was arguably the best women's tennis player of her generation.
I don't think I was alive, but I know the story.
She was playing a tournament. I don't remember where it was. And a fan who was German, who was a big Steffi Graf fan, and Steffi Graf lives here in Vegas, actually, where we do the podcast, other football podcast, in case you, for whatever reason, started 8 minutes into the show. But... there was an incident where this guy, German fan, big Steffi Graf fan, ran down onto the court and stabbed Monica Seles and completely ruined her. I mean, she came back, but she was not nearly the same. I would guess
that's gonna be psychological and physical.
Yes, because you get stabbed. I mean, you're dealing with nerves.
Thankfully, I don't think either of us have personally been stabbed.
No, I have not. I've got tattoos. I don't think that's quite the same. I mean, it hurts, but...
I got hit with the icicle. That was the closest I've been to
stabbed. Like Christmas Story where it falls down and hits
you? It actually did. That was the only time I got stitches.
Really? Yeah. Under the eye?
Right under the eye.
Oh, you're lucky you didn't lose the eye.
Yeah. I would look like Slick Rick.
Yeah, Slick Rick the ruler. Children's story.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know...
Just be a... It goes back, we've said this before, but I don't care how many times we have said it. Be a decent human being.
Yeah.
You can yell stuff that's fun. I've heckled at countless sporting events.
Before I got into the business, I was a fan, and I used to go to baseball games, and I would heckle whoever was playing outfield against the Phillies.
Try not to use profanity.
I was a kid, so yeah, and I was usually with my dad, so I wasn't using profanity.
Yeah.
I've obviously no racial stuff, because my dad would have... I would have had... Let's put it this way. Had I gone to a game with my dad and I had ever used anything racial, when I got home, my friends, the leather belt and the wooden spoon would have been waiting for me when I walked in the door, because there's zero chance.
As they should have been for the guy that hit Jack Grealish.
Yes.
And I think he'll have more concerns with what he does with the prison.
The ultimate irony in all of that was the fact that Grealish ends up scoring
the
winning goal for Aston Villa.
I would have flipped the double bird or hit the DX.
Oh, yeah.
Suck it.
Yeah, right, absolutely. To the crowd. I probably would have celebrated by flipping people off.
Yeah.
And I probably would have ran over to the corner where that fan came from, and I would have flipped all those people off, and I would have given them the old DX, because you know what? They kind of earned it.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, because at some point, and then the worst part is, all those fans, they have to see this guy running down and getting ready to go on to the pitch. And
so you let him go.
Yeah. And then the worst part is, in the Arsenal game later in the day.
Yeah.
Another fan ran on to the field, and he fortunately was unable to
sucker punch anyone.
But if you're the stewards or the police officers or the security guards, how do you not have heightened alert after that happened earlier in the day? You know, it's like, I don't remember because I wasn't alive, but I remember.
Which is a good reason for not remembering.
I remember watching the documentary on Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
When he passed Babe Ruth, he had received death threats. And all sorts
and everyone,
of things.
Are you talking about when everyone ran on the field?
Well, there were the two guys who came running down, and they weren't sure what was going to happen. Yeah. And they ran along with Hank Aaron. And I remember seeing them saying, well, we were so happy for him that we wanted to celebrate with him. Like, they weren't going to do anything malicious, but still.
He doesn't know that.
He doesn't know that.
And in fairness, I'm pretty sure he had some cojones, because I don't remember him, like, flinching or shuddering away. I think he just kept running and was like,
I think
join the party.
I almost think he had to be, right? Like, if you you watch the movie about Jackie Robinson, what was it, 42?
42, yeah.
Which was a great movie.
Chadwick Boseman.
That was a really good movie. My grandmother actually grew up in Brooklyn, and she loved Jackie Robinson. My mom told me that when Jackie Robinson died, she cried.
Yeah.
That's how much she loved Jackie Robinson. But if you see that movie, the amount of abuse that that guy endured and how thick of skin he had to be able to, with his own teammates, to be able to put up with it. But, you know, I digress. We'll go back to football. But it was kind of a bittersweet moment, I think, for Jack Grealish, because I'm sure he obviously
didn't want to get sucker punched.
Nobody wants to get sucker punched, right? But to score the winning goal in that game had to be something. So if you like what you're listening to so far, this is the Other Football Podcast. Chris Chapman, Carson Merck, Thomas Fiola not here. You can catch us all over the place. We're on iTunes, LV Sports Network, which is where we're going to upload it, Stitcher, Spotify.
BGN.fm. Shout out to Roughneck Scarves.
Big sponsor of BGN and Roughneck Scarves. They're the official scarves of what? MLS?
USL, MLS, National Team, and Custom Scarves. Roughneckscarves.com.
Which I think we need to get for Thomas, celebrating the night that
they got drawn, and he was down for that idea.
Yeah, he was
we
totally
joked
down
about that
for,
afterwards.
Yeah.
But
the night that Everton drew Liverpool, we already busted him about the fact that Everton's probably selling DVDs for that night.
Yeah, but it's very similar to when the Lights put up the fake banner of
beating Toronto
FC in the preseason.
And speaking of the Lights, their season underway,
officially underway.
I was not there because I had prior obligations on Saturday, but they played Austin Bold.
Yeah,
they had a very bold prediction. Brett Lashbrook and Eric Wynalda said that we guarantee a win or we will give you a ticket to come to the next game. Now, they didn't lose.
But they didn't win.
0-0 draw.
Good matches from both goalkeepers.
And from what I understood,
LV
Lights probably should have won the game.
Yeah, they had a couple chances. They have a couple goals disallowed. They actually had a...
It was an offside? They had two goals disallowed, right?
They did. They had one that was offside, and then they had one, the kid Gabe Robinson is a long throw expert, and he threw the ball into the goal.
Yeah, and
on the fly,
nobody,
and it didn't hit anybody. Yeah, so Restrepo, the goalkeeper for Austin, just moved out of the way and let it go in. But it was a good match by both keepers. But if somebody should have won,
it should have
been
Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah.
But you know what? Good showing in the first match, and hopefully they build on this.
8,000 plus fans, I believe.
Big crowd.
Yeah.
And you know, I think there's a lot of excitement in Las Vegas about this team right now, because I think you are always going to have, I think, the casual Mexican fan, right? And they were instantly attracted because of Chelis.
Yeah.
Obviously a big name in Mexican soccer, coached there for a very long time. His kid was there as well. A lot of Mexican players. Now you have the casual American fan.
Because of Wynalda.
Because of Wynalda. And I think there's genuine excitement because Wynalda is a big name that a lot of American fans know.
Yeah.
Right? Because this generation has grown up, right? Like the previous, not my generation, but my parents' generation, the only thing they knew was Pele. He wasn't American.
I feel like he's been alive for 400 years.
It
by the
seems
way.
That way, right? Because he started playing. He played in the first World Cup when he was 18?
Man, was he? I thought he was younger than that.
He may have been. I thought he was 18, but he may have been younger than that. And you know, he played for the New York Cosmos when I was a kid, so I got to see him play when I was a kid. But I don't really recall much about it because I only knew Pele and just seeing him. I wasn't the biggest soccer fan at 3 or 4 years old. Obviously,
that's fair.
So I do remember him when he was with the Cosmos, but I don't really recall seeing him play, even though I know I went to a game or two. But for those who grew up in my generation and your generation, they've only known the U.S. being in the World Cup scratch 20 last year, right?
Yeah.
We won't talk about 2018.
No.
But, you know, for people who just got into the sport, when I was in high school, Wijnaldum was a big name.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, he has a big name in the sense of when he got hired by the Lights, a lot of
national
across national media, yep. national, you know, just soccer players in general were like, gotta catch a Lights match, like you're saying. He just has that draw ability as far as the soccer.
He kind of transcends soccer a little bit in the U.S. because he was the first guy to ever score a goal in MLS. He was the first American player in over 50 years, I think, to score a goal in the World Cup, because there was that long absence between the U.S. playing in whatever it was, the 50s, all the way up until 1990. So 40-plus years in between appearances for the U.S., and he scores the first goal.
He was 16 for the World Cup, by the way.
And I don't think he scored the first goal for the U.S. in the World Cup. I think he
had the first red card.
He did. And I think he was the guy I got it wrong. So he was the player to score the goal in the first win that they had in 40-plus years when they beat Switzerland. I think they played that game in Pontiac, Michigan. I think they played it in the Silver Dome.
Yes.
So they played on turf, which was really strange.
I'm sure players were thrilled.
I'm sure they were. And we're not too far away from the Lights completely taking control of Cashman Field, because the Aviators will be moving into their new stadium in a few weeks, and their first game, I think, is April 9th. So once that becomes official, the new stadium opens, Lights FC will now have control of Cashman Field. And I think it's great. I saw pictures of the pitch. It looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem like there was the outline of the infield anymore.
No, even in a lot of the preseason matches that I was at, it looks good. They're doing a good job. They don't have full control, but they have 99% of control of the stadium right now.
What will be cool is when they officially take over and they're able to kind of configure things the way that they want it to be configured. I really believe in Brett Lashbrook, and I like the partnership that they have with Zappos, which is their main sponsor, because Zappos is a Vegas-born company. Tony Shea has really revitalized the downtown area. And, you know, I'm
not related to the O'Shea brothers from Little Giants.
No, he's definitely not related. In fact, I think he's Taiwanese. I could be wrong. I think he's Taiwanese. I think I read that.
He is not Rick Moranis.
No, he's not Rick Moranis or
Ed O'Neill,
right? Al Bundy. But that was a good movie, by the way. I liked that movie.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Little Giants, we'll give a shout out to the Little Giants who gave your Cleveland Browns Odell Beckham.
I have my Browns shirt on.
Rocking the Browns shirt. Yeah. But, you know, I'm excited for what's in store for the Lights. I really am. And we're going to be heading out there. We're hopefully going to be able to get players on.
Yeah.
Which seems to be something that they're excited about.
I'm excited for this next match, the 30th of March, is against Real Monarchs, who are a good team already.
They're basically the minor league affiliate of Real Salt Lake.
And so this will be the match that fans have the free ticket to from the draw.
What's the date of that?
The 30th.
Okay, so it's about a week and 2 weeks.
Yeah, about a week and a half. And
today is the 13th. So actually more than that, 17 days.
It feels like tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then
they're on the road for the next two games, correct?
Yeah, and this weekend they play OK Energy FC, which I know you guys love that name.
I hate that one, yeah.
But the
Oklahoma City Energy Football Club.
The interesting, another ticket route, if you're interested, and if you're interested in being charitable, on the 23rd, the Lights officially announced Guns and Hoses.
Yep.
Which is going to be a charity match between the police department and the firefighters.
Yeah, that's
at Cashman, the 23rd. And if you go to that match, I think tickets are $15. I could be wrong. You get a free match ticket to the 30th.
And your $15 is going to a charitable cause.
Yeah.
Which is,
you're pretty much donating to get
a free ticket
to watch a, you know, charity match and
you get a USL professional game. You get a USL game. So that's really cool. And, you know, I'm glad the Lights are ingraining themselves in the community. Eric Wijnaldum, I see him all over town. I see him on TV. I see him in this building all the time. He came to our staff lunch.
Nice.
The couple weeks ago, we had a good conversation, me and him, about Chris Wondolowski. Won't say how that went. I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but we had a good discussion about it. And, you know, it's cool to be able to have a relationship with a guy who basically is one of the more well-known American players. I mean, because I remember that generation, guys like Marcelo Balboa, Tab Ramos, Tony Meola. You know, that was the generation that I grew up with. And those were and Wijnaldum was one of those guys. I mean, he was on the field for the U.S. when they hosted the World Cup. I mean, imagine you're a kid growing up in Southern California. You love the sport. I think he's, what, San Diego? Wijnaldum's from San Diego? Somewhere in Southern California.
Yeah, definitely a SoCal guy.
So he's growing up in the 70s, plays in college. I think he played at San Diego State, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere in,
I'll check, but maybe, it sounds right.
And you have zero idea that there's ever going to be an MLS. But even bigger, you have zero idea that the U.S. is going to host a World Cup.
Or make a World Cup.
Yes, because when he was a kid growing up, the U.S. hadn't played in the World Cup in a long time.
Yeah.
So you're only hearing stories of it.
He did go to San Diego State, okay. And it's from Fullerton, California.
So right near Disneyland.
Also a Gemini.
Oh, like me.
June 9th.
How about that? I don't know the difference. What?
I don't know where the cutoff is, but I know.
It's like June 21st or something like
that. The ripe age of 49.
Wow. So me and him, not too far apart in age. But, you know, it's very cool to see him become part of this community. He's lived here before.
It's cool for even if you take it to the club level, it's cool to see the lights become
a part of the community.
Further a part of the community last year.
There's a lot of friends that I have that want to go games. They want to go to games. They're like,
hey, I've also talked to some people that are like, hey, I saw we have a soccer team now. Yeah. Like, when's the next match? So I think the 30th is going to be a night.
I had someone tell me that they had heard that it was a great party atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked about the pregame stuff that they do out in the parking lot. Imagining that they're still doing that, the little carnival that they had set up.
It's toned down a little bit from the preseason. From last year in the preseason, it was a little toned down. I'm not positive if it's still there will still be some type of tailgate.
Which is really cool.
That I'm confident of.
Because a tailgate, I think, is an American tradition at sporting events.
Yeah.
And to have that as part of like your soccer experience.
Yeah.
I think if you go to see a game, I think you'll be hooked. That's kind of the way I look at it, right? Because I went out last year for the first time to see a USL game, and I was skeptical.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, all right, it's how fun is it going to be? How good is the game going to be? And I'll tell you, it was fun. I had a really good time. I mean, I enjoyed it. And even though I couldn't cheer because I'm part of the media, I still thought it was a great time. I saw some players for the Golden Knights out there because a lot of those guys like soccer. So it's a lot of fun.
Which is the perfect reason for it. So anyone listening to this on many of our streaming platforms, if there's a match that if you're undecided about going to a match, go on the 30th. You have a couple opportunities for free tickets. You might already have one, or you get one of this charity match, or you spend 15, 20 bucks and get an actual ticket the night of. But it's also, speaking of Knights, Golden Knight match. And so they're wearing custom Golden Knights themed jerseys. You know, I don't see a reason why you wouldn't go.
And the other thing is, they give their jerseys away after
every
the game.
Match.
So I don't know if they're going to do it that night. They may auction them off for charity. I don't know.
I have not heard either way.
But I'll be honest. The fact that these players will give their jerseys away after a game.
Every game.
Every player. That is super, super cool. So if you have a kid, right, you go to a Golden Knights game, they only give out a few sticks, maybe a couple pucks. They're not giving you their jerseys off their backs. I mean, as cool as the Golden Knights are and as much fun as I have being around those guys and that team, nobody's giving you their jersey at the end of the night.
Yeah, I've seen so many kids at matches, especially obviously towards the end of last season, that have a jersey that's three sizes too big.
Yeah.
And has a specific player on the back. It's cool because you're like, he got that from that player.
Yeah.
Whether they get it signed or whether they just have it. You have the player's name. They wore it in a game, whether they scored in the game, played in the game, were a substitute in the game. It's cool either way.
Yeah, and I'm gonna bring my son out to a game one night because he's never been, and we'll sit out there where we usually sit, and maybe he'll get another jersey.
That would be awesome.
So, switch gears to the Champions League, and yesterday's games. This is Wednesday night, so we're recording it on Wednesday. So when we say yesterday, we're talking about Tuesday. Bit of a We could start with the one that I think was a bit surprising.
I'm assuming that is the Juventus match.
Because I think
the Man City match was not all too surprising.
Totally anticlimactic. But I had read that Schalke was going to play like their basically like their B/C team because
whether they did or did not, it didn't end well.
Yeah, I don't know where they are in the Bundesliga, but I had heard that they were struggling, and I think they were struggling in the Bundesliga. And so basically they had decided that they were going to
chalk it up,
basically wave the white flag. And as it stands right now in the Bundesliga, Schalke is 14th in the Bundesliga, sitting on 23 points. So they're only 4 points clear of that playoff spot, because in the Bundesliga, two teams relegated to third from the bottom will play a playoff game against the third from the top
Bundesliga two
teams. So Schalke not safe. They're 7 points behind 13th place Mainz.
Jeez. So they're probably not catching 13th place Mainz.
No, and they're only a point ahead of Augsburg in 15th. So they waved the white flag. They were like, you know what, screw this.
And they got buried.
7-0 was the final, I think.
Yeah, which is, I'm sad. I was a leg off because I predicted they would win. Man City would win 6-0 in the first leg. And they had that crazy match where they were losing and then equalized and won late.
Yeah.
So I was just a leg off. I was a little early on my prediction.
That was a game where you're like, oh, maybe Schalke could pull the upset, knock City out.
Yeah. As this one, not so much.
And then yesterday,
That's actually where Thomas is tonight. He's at Schalke's funeral.
Ah,
because
yes.
Because he is a Weston McKennie fan.
That's true. Yeah, Weston McKennie, yikes. Put him. He. You know what? How bad would that be if they get relegated? I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're probably safe.
Yeah.
But that's. I mean, this was a club that I think we didn't think was going to get through to begin with.
Mm-mm.
And somehow they did. They played in a bad group. I think they were in that group with like one of the Russian teams. And I think there was. I think Porto was in that group.
No, were they?
I don't know. I got to look it up now. But I remember their group was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But yesterday, the other game, obviously, Juventus, Atletico, I think we were all shocked that Atletico came back or blew that game, is what I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in the group. Yeah, I was right.
Were they with Porto?
They were with Porto. They finished 5 points behind Porto.
Who else was in that group?
Galatasaray and Lokomotiv Moscow.
Galatasaray.
So I remember when that group came out, we said it was garbage.
Yeah.
And
that's an understatement.
You know, Porto's through, Schalke not. But
for me, I'll go ahead and say, I remember when we talked about the first leg of Juventus and Atletico, you asked Thomas and I, can they come back, Juventus, that is?
Yeah.
And I said no. Thomas said yes, but he pretty much went with the technically they can come back.
What did I say?
I don't remember. I think you were probably closer to the middle.
I think I may have said yes because of the guy who scored the hat trick yesterday.
F that guy.
Do you think the penalty at the end was deserved?
I don't know. That's one where I don't think the refs are that impacted by momentum, but things were certainly trending Juventus's way.
Now they did go to VAR.
Yeah. Yeah. True. I think it was. I don't know. I it wasn't egregious. I didn't watch and say, wow, unbelievable, that's a soft penalty. But I also wasn't the other way where it was a stone cold penalty. But I guess I wasn't offended either way.
My initial thought was it was a dive.
Yeah.
But that guy's always going to get the call in that position, in that situation.
Yeah.
And because, you know, he is the very best in the world, at, you know, some may say. I still go back and forth with him and Messi. I just appreciate both of them for how good they are. That being said, I don't want to see either of them in the next round if I'm Liverpool.
No. There are some teams you wouldn't be excited for. There are some teams you would be excited for. They are teams you want to avoid at all costs.
Yeah, because I think yesterday what we saw was we saw Juventus showing that they are capable of winning this whole thing.
I think the first leg was a wake up call.
Yeah,
that they were like, okay, we can't just walk through this. They're the one team, which we'll get into the teams that are left, but they're the one team I don't want to win out of all of them. They're absolutely, if I have to pick out of the eight, they're eighth.
Now, what's the reasoning behind that?
I hate Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay.
He's not the real He's not the real Ronaldo. He's obviously has some stuff off the pitch we don't even need to talk about. But yeah, to me, he, in the Messi Cristiano Ronaldo, I'm Messi all day just because he, I think he's just a better team player. He doesn't seem like as much of a douche as Cristiano. But also, selfishly, it would be heartbreaking to see Juventus win when Buffon left.
Especially the way that Buffon went out.
Yeah, that to me, like all those years at Juventus, and then you finally leave and win, that would be the ultimate kick in the stones.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I'm not so sure Juventus is the eighth team for me. For me, that team is United. United That's is fair. Eighth. I think Barcelona would be seventh.
United actually might be my top like three.
Yeah, really? You bastard. But
shout out to Pogba.
Yeah. But I think I was in a bit of a shock, state of shock, because I did not see Atletico conceding two goals very early like they did. And, I mean, let's be real. Cristiano Ronaldo, when he's on the field, things can happen. And I think we're seeing that, how important he was to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Because they are garbage. They're really bad. Now, they bring Zidane back.
Yeah, which is a risky move, yeah.
We speculated it was going to be Mourinho last week because that's what all the papers were saying in Spain.
We were misled.
We were, because sliding in under the radar was Zidane to take over. We could talk about that a little bit later. But the games today, one was, I'm going to be honest, I thought that neither one of them lived up to the hype.
I would agree. Because I very much agree. Both the first legs were nil-nil.
Yeah. I expected much more out of Lyon today than what they gave. They lose 5-1 to Barca.
They were my emotional
That game was over really early. Messi had a PK early on, kind of took the momentum. Again, with that one, I'm not sure either. I mean, it seemed like the right call, but it also seemed a little soft. Suarez went down. Coutinho scored a goal for
how about that?
For Barcelona, his first knockout stage goal in the Champions League, because for Barcelona, I don't remember if he scored last year for Liverpool. I'm pretty sure he did. Because they had, I think, a game where they put up five or six goals in the Champions League last year against Roma.
Didn't they do that against Man City as well?
They blew out City as well. The good news for Lyon is that they can focus on finishing in second place in the
Ligue 1.
I don't even know where they stand, because I know PSG has basically already won the league.
Even without Neymar, which is just silly
for a lot
of the season.
And so there was all this talk about how great Ligue 1 was.
From Edison Cavani.
Both teams go out in the quarterfinals.
He claimed that it was the best league.
Well, I don't think he can make that claim anymore. One Spanish team now into the quarters, and I think Barcelona has the ability to win the whole thing.
I would agree.
And I think they'd be motivated to win it in Atletico's new stadium, which is where the final is in Madrid. That'd be a kick to both clubs in Madrid. Hey, we came in. Not only can Madrid not beat them, not only is Madrid not going to win the league,
but we came here.
We came into your city and we raised the trophy in your city. I think that's going to be a little bit of a motivating factor for those guys, because that's a rivalry that is nasty.
It's also one where Barcelona is obviously, they're stupid talented everywhere, but we haven't talked about them that much as far as...
Well, because I think part of it is the fact that league is pretty much over, and it's been over for a while.
Yeah, I think you assume they're going to do well.
Yeah.
And so when they're doing well, you're not surprised, but you look at it, okay, if you look at the spectrum of Barcelona and Madrid... Real Madrid aren't playing well, and you're like, whoa, what the heck's going on? It's like everything's off kilter. Barcelona, when they're playing well, you're just like, okay, it's usual stuff.
And then the other game today, Liverpool, they defeat Bayern Munich in Munich at the Allianz Arena. Allianz Arena, I think it is.
Yeah.
3-1. Now, when I saw the lineup, what did I say?
You were not confident.
I was not confident. I said a midfield of Henderson, Milner, and Wijnaldum.
I'm a Gini Wijnaldum fan, so I don't appreciate him being lumped in that group.
Well, all right. Milner and Henderson especially, they seem to slow the offense down a lot. They go backwards. They're basically the same player. I think Milner's more of a fan favorite because he plays so many different roles on the team. You know, he's the guy who takes PKs a lot. But he's just kind of a guy, right? Like, there's nothing special about James Milner. He just works hard.
Yeah.
Jordan Henderson.
He's not even the working class hero, though.
No. And speaking of, he got a stupid yellow card today, so he's going to miss the first match in the quarterfinals. I don't know why he took it. Reckless challenge. They're up 3-1 in the 91st minute or 92nd minute, 2 minutes from the end of the game, and he takes a card for Liverpool. So, working class hero Andy Robertson, he's going to miss the first game of the quarterfinals. But
dark times.
You know, I don't like Joel Matip. I let you guys know that. I was really nervous when I saw the lineup the Klopp put out there. I have to be honest.
I mean, you predicted a loss.
I did.
In all fairness.
I did. I said they were going to lose 3-1. As it is, Jordan Henderson gets injured, I think, in the 14th minute. Fabinho comes on. All of a sudden, Liverpool has offense. Fabinho finds Mane on a super long stretch pass. And Mane is able to beat the goalie, puts it in. It's now, It's 1-0 Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah.
Matip has the own goal. And then after that, Liverpool, they find a way to get a second goal.
I'm thankful. Beautiful. I've never scored an own goal in my life.
Yeah, that's got to be rough. And I don't really know if I blame Matip on that.
I don't blame a lot of people when they score the own goals, but
it's not like a guy intentionally kicks the ball into the net. I mean, it was a great cross pass, and Matip put a boot on it.
You're doing your best to get your body in the way of it in some fashion.
The thing is,
it ends up in the back of your own net.
If he doesn't get a boot on it, it's probably a goal.
Yeah.
So
you should take the chance of it being in your control.
Yeah, at least there's a chance. Maybe you boot it over the net. Maybe you kick it out of bounds.
Yeah.
But Van Dijk's header on the corner kick was a thing of beauty. The guy's
a player.
He looks
like he's 45.
He is, but he's massive. He's a big guy.
When he's not 45, that's why I brought that up. He's not 45 at all.
Yeah, he's still relative. I think he's only like 26 or something.
I remember when there was a video of Mo Salah talking to, it was Mo Salah, maybe Dejan Lovren, and Mo Salah was saying when he signed, when Van Dijk signed, that is, he thought he was like in his mid-30s, but it turns out he's not at all in his mid-30s. So, no, it was an interesting match. Like you said, both the first leg and this leg of both of the fixtures that ended today were both just kind of a letdown, especially for teams that Liverpool and Barcelona both obviously known for having quite the attacking prowess to not put up, you know, elite goal scoring numbers. But it's going to be interesting as far as teams going forward. But we'll see what happens. But by my account and by the smile on Chris's face, I believe we have a guest, which is, I'll do the introduction.
Yeah, because I mean, you set this up, so I gotta let you do it.
WBC welterweight champion defeated Udenis Ugas this past weekend. Fox Sports analyst, a man who loves mid-range jump shots and chocolate chip cookies, but most importantly, Northeast Ohio's own Showtime Sean Porter, a.k.a. Mr. Superman.
What's happening, everybody?
What up, Pizzle?
I'm good, man. At dinner and like that to get online with y'all, but it's my pleasure. What's going on over there?
Now we're super glad to have you. I mean, it's not very often we get to talk to a world champion, and you know, the fight over the weekend. I know it went to the decision. What was it? Split decision, right? So it seemed like it was a little bit of a challenge for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, we honestly in the corner did not see the split decision coming. You know, but you know, we thought we did everything we needed to do to win that particular fight. So, you know, here we are, still a WBC champion.
Now, when you go into the judge's scorecard.
Yeah,
you feel confident that you won the fight, but when you hear that judge give it to the other guy, how nervous do you get when they're going to the third judge?
They're going to the third judge, and the only thing I can think is, please, not a split draw. I didn't want a draw. I didn't want to retain the title based on a draw. So I knew, you know, once they read the score that I won, then they read the score that Dennis won, I knew that it could only be one other thing, and that would either be me winning or a draw. So, you know, we came out on top the way we wanted to, and, you know, it still is, you know, a little mind-wrecking, you know, hearing scores and you know, hearing that it's a split decision. So, yes, overall, it is a blessing.
Obviously, I'm happy the call went your way, A, because I'm a friend and a fan, and also because it made Saturday night hanging out afterwards less awkward. But this weekend, last weekend, you were doing your you know, we'll call it your day job. Now you got the other day job going this weekend in Dallas for Spence Garcia. Nobody has asked you ever yet your prediction, so I won't even go into that. But how's Dallas?
Dallas, it's been fun so far. This is my first time down here, and my first time at the stadium a little earlier today. And honestly, as soon as we were about to go on our little tour, they pulled us in for work. So I'm definitely enjoying being a part of the broadcast team. And didn't really enjoy getting called out by Errol Spence today, you know. But you know, I had to deal with that the best way I could, and I think I handled it pretty professionally. But you know, from here on, I wanted to take the magnifying glass off of myself and really put it on these two gentlemen that are about to get in the ring on Saturday night, because they deserve all of the respect and all of the attention that's going to come their way. So I'm going to do my best to sell pay-per-view and sell these tickets.
Yeah, obviously the fight is arguably one of the bigger fights of the year. Some would say the biggest, from a big venue, which we'll tie this in. There's a football team that plays there, but more importantly, there's a football team that plays at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio. So let's just go right into that. Let's talk Odell Beckham Jr.
What unreal is you know, I was actually on the flight going down in Dallas, and you know, as soon as I touched down, I'm getting text messages. I know you're happy. I'm getting text messages. Are you surprised? I'm getting text messages that you know, that it happened, and I'm, you know, I'm ecstatic, man. You got Odell Beckham Jr. right alongside Jarvis Landry now, and they're being thrown to by Baker Mayfield. And so I think, you know, they're going to be able to create what they did back in LSU, right there in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm thoroughly looking forward to being a part of it. I'm talking about camp, preseason, postseason, all of it. I'll be there.
Now, I know you're a big Browns fan, because I actually produce a show that you come on regularly, the T.C. Martin Show. So we have you on all the time, and I know you actually fly to Cleveland to go to games, right? You got season tickets, right? You sit in the dog pound.
I don't have season tickets, but I fly back. And actually, last year I bought tickets, and we were all going to Oakland to watch them play. And I had Carson had to go to that one with another friend of mine, because I ended up taking a fly out to the Ukraine. So that's how big of a Browns fan that I am, man. We look every season, we see how close they're going to be to us, and we figure out which ones we can get to, and we get to them.
Now, a lot of people probably don't know this, but there is this is a soccer podcast. Now, you do have a soccer tie-in, because you do a show with Kate Abdo, correct?
Yeah. So I actually just have two soccer tie-ins, even though I don't play or watch it. Kate Abdo is a colleague of mine now on Fox, inside PBC, and then also a great friend of mine by the last name of Lennon. He plays a young kid now playing in MLS. So, yeah, those are my two tie-ins right there.
You also have another one. I can personally confirm you FaceTime Patrick Van Aanholt before as well.
Yeah. I don't know him that well, but, you know, the few times that I have been to England, I've run into him, and we have some mutual friends as well. So.
Now, I want to go back to the boxing, because I do see sometimes you on social media, there's only three guys you want to fight, right? Errol Spence is one.
Yeah.
And Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao stood out to me because Manny Pacquiao to me is a legend. Like, I lived in the Philippines, so I got to see just how big of a legend the guy is.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So what is it about Pacquiao? Is it just because he is a legend and it would just be so special to fight him? Or is there
Yeah, what Manny is, it's a number of things. I mean, obviously you have a very lucrative paycheck. Outside of that, the man has a fan base that just cannot be duplicated. You can't match being able to represent an entire island the way that he does. And I believe it or not, the crime rate goes down to zero in the Philippines when
there's
he fights.
There's no traffic either.
It's just unbelievably awesome. You know, and then also the fact that I was once his sparring partner. I think that is, you know, that's the storybook ending, you know, to most, for a lot of fighters, you know, that once was sparring partner becomes, you know, the guy that takes down the once was champion, you know. So, and I'm not saying he's the once was at all, man. He is absolutely the epitome of a legend. And, you know, I just would love to have the opportunity to compete against him in front of millions and millions of people.
Now, I mean, for me, it would be great to watch that fight. I would hope it would be here in Las Vegas so I could actually go to the fight. But Sean Porter, Showtime Sean Porter, our guest here on the Other Football Podcast, I want to switch gears a little bit because I know you're a big music guy. You are a huge, huge music fan. I know you know the old school stuff, but Carson kind of, well, I know when you come out to Kirk Franklin, but
yeah.
Carson told me that you are a big fan of Boogie Down Productions. So in honor of that, our opening song is actually Criminal Minded by BDP.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, no, that's a classic. That's one that I remember driving around with my dad listening to, and you know, he would rap the words to us, and we just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And, you know, soon enough, we were able to learn the words and rap it with him. And, I mean, I'm 9, 10 years old, you know, rapping BDP songs, you know, and just having the ball doing it, you know. So now, you know, it's kind of – that's the thing with myself and Carson. We like lyrics, and we like lyrically-minded rappers, you know. So from time to time, we'll shoot some lyrics to each other, some rap artists to each other, and, you know, we have similar tastes in that respect.
Now, when you're trading, what's on the playlist? I mean, I'm going to guess some BDP, but what other old-school hip-hop is on that playlist?
I got so many different playlists, and it really just depends on my mood, man. I got up-tempo gospel playlists. I have an 80s and 90s music playlist that's got BDP on it. It's got Bobby Brown on it. It's got New Edition on it. You know, it's got Earth, Wind & Fire on it. You know, a little bit of everything, you know. So it really just depends on what I'm feeling like, you know. I got a playlist called Bad to the Bone, and that ain't nothing but Bone Thugs, you know, the best of Bone Thugs, in my opinion, you know. So it just depends on the day.
So we'll let you go because I know you're eating. But
what's on the menu before we let you go? What's
that's
on the menu?
True.
What's up with what?
What's the menu. On the menu?
What's on the menu that I'm eating right now?
Yeah.
I believe it or not, I'm at the number one steakhouse in the country, and it's getting cold, so I'm going to say goodbye.
Yeah, that sounds good, man. Hey, we greatly appreciate Showtime, Sean Porter. Just
for last question
on the win. Yeah, I'll
last
let
question. Better sports day for Cleveland for you, feeling wise, when they traded for Odell Beckham or when Brian came back?
When Brian came back, yeah.
It was close for me. It was close for me though.
You guys won a title.
Hey, listen, I think game one is gonna top all of that. Our first game of the first season is gonna top all of that.
Yeah, well, they're gonna burn the city down if the Browns win. But
lose or draw, they're burning the city down, and I'll be a part of it.
Yeah, but we all look forward to watching you on Saturday on the pay per view on all the pre stuff. I'll be watching it at Ant's house eating the taco truck, but. Thanks for the time, Pizzle.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate
it, man.
Get back
talk
to dinner, man.
Later.
Yeah,
peace.
We'll talk to you soon. Have a good one. That's very cool. Showtime Sean Porter, our guest here on the Other Football Podcast. To get a guy like that, think about it, WBC world champion boxer. I mean, you cannot get much bigger than that. I mean, I've talked to the guy a few times, but I've never actually been able to have a conversation with him like we just did. He's a cool cat.
I'm not. I've had many a conversation with him. So
I'm
it's
sure
a bit
you
old,
have. Yeah.
Bit old news to me.
Yeah, but to get him because I mean, look, we lost Thomas. We get Showtime.
So I think we traded up to me.
We lose TV, but we get the cable package. So
yeah, that works for me.
So Spence called him out today. I wonder
that what he did. Yeah, he pretty much said that Sean was ducking him.
I don't think that's the case.
Knowing Sean for a while, I don't think he's ducked many people.
I've been. Involved with shows that he's been on for about 2 years, and he's come on quite a bit, and I don't picture him to be the type to duck anybody. Who's the other one? Was it Thurman that he wants to fight?
Thurman, yeah. Thurman, so, Spence, and Pacquiao.
I would love to see him fight Pacquiao because I like watching Sean fight because, you know, since he's been coming on the other show that I'm involved in, I think I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't really know a whole lot about him before that, but I've become a fan just because he's always so cordial and he's such a friendly, happy guy when he comes on. So.
Yeah.
You know, I've become a fan.
Overall, good guy. SB.
And I've always liked Pacquiao. I don't like some of the things that he said in the past, but
yeah.
I've always been a big fan of his. I've always loved the fact that he represents the Philippines unlike anybody
yeah.
that I've ever seen represent a country. And he's right. When Pacquiao fights, the entire country shuts down.
Yeah.
I lived there when he had a couple of fights, and I was there when he fought McGregor. Or not McGregor. He fought Mayweather.
Oh, Mayweather. Mayweather.
And I went to Macau to see him fight Algieri. That was an experience. Watching him fight Mayweather, there was literally no traffic. There were no cars on the road. People were out in the street, gathered around TVs. There were people, basketball is huge in the Philippines.
Yeah.
I was watching the news. They bring a TV to the basketball court. They hook it up, and no matter what they're doing, they stop, and they watch him fight.
Yeah.
It's that big of a deal. I mean, I don't think anyone.
It's like Iceland soccer.
Yeah.
To tie it back to that.
But, I don't know how anybody, there's nobody in this country, in America.
That has a draw like that.
That has a draw. Like I would imagine, when Jordan and Bird played, you probably had that.
Yeah.
I know when you know, we have a couple million, I don't know what it is, how many people watch a Super Bowl. People aren't drawn to a particular player. They're not watching the Super Bowl.
They're watching the spectacle.
They're watching the Super Bowl because it's a Super Bowl, right? Yeah. Same with the World Cup. People are watching the World Cup because it's the World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're – Manny Pacquiao is such a generational – he crosses so many barriers in the Philippines. And by the way, make sure you send a big thanks to Showtime for coming on because, I mean – it's super cool that we were and he stopped eating his nice steak dinner for.
Yeah, I think he was having a lobster bisque, if I'm correct.
Oh, nice! I'm a big lobster bisque guy.
He's a Seinfeld guy, so he's a soup. No soup for you guys. So
Mindy's?
That.
Oh, is it Mindy's? Mindy's was the.
In Seinfeld.
We're
I can't remember the
Gold,
name.
It's Jerry Gold, right? He kept taking him to Mindy's, right?
Yeah.
And then he would let him order certain things off the menu.
Yeah.
I've actually met that guy before, Steve Heitner. I'm not the biggest Seinfeld guy.
Disappointing.
But
Thomas, I think, is actually a Seinfeld guy.
I like the show. It's just that I don't know where to start.
Yeah. That's fair.
Because there's just I see so many episodes, I'll watch it late at night, but I'm a big Simpsons guy. I love the Simpsons. I watch it every night before I go to bed.
No doubt.
Then Archer comes on, and usually I'll fall asleep during Archer, but I like that show too. But back to soccer, and I know that there was something that Thomas wanted you to ask me.
Yeah, so shout out to TV at TV at Work.
We're making him wait 53 minutes into the podcast for you to get
Which is good. I like that we did this, but so his question is.
He said you have to read it word for word.
I'll verbatim, or I won't verbatim, but I'll.
Paraphrase
right. It, and I know what he's saying. Although neither are likely,
yes,
or that neither will happen, which would you prefer, Liverpool to win the Premier League or the Champions League?
I would rather them win the Premier League for the very reason that I've seen them win the Champions League.
Yeah.
I was very young the last time they won the English Championship.
Which means we weren't alive.
Yeah, because it was before the Premier League even existed. They have not won that. I believe it's now 29 years, 28 years.
I'm 27, so.
So, and you know what's funny? Mo Salah was actually asked the same question. And his response was similar to mine. The fans have waited so long for them to win the Premier League.
He should probably play better.
Against Everton, he should have, yeah. But I'm going to be 100% totally honest. If they win out and finish with 97 points and don't win the league.
Will that be even worse for you or better?
It would be worse for me. I would be absolutely devastated.
Because you had such a great season and still
to think
not.
Because to me, it seems how you could finish 3 points away from 100 and not win the league.
Yeah.
And then if they don't win the Champions League on top of that. I mean, I would be...
That'd be a double kick in the stones.
I mean, I would probably be okay if they don't win the league, but win the Champions League. I would much rather see them win the Premier League, only because it would shut up a lot of people, and because I want to see my team finally lift that trophy, right? When I was a kid, that wasn't on TV, right?
There wasn't TV when you were a kid.
Well, there was, because I used to watch... I don't know how we did it, but I'd watch games with my grandfather, who actually is from Liverpool, and... You know, I don't remember if it was highlights or what, but we would watch it, and that was you know, the Liverpool thing was kind of passed on to me.
So I know it's difficult to do with your team still involved, but if Liverpool somehow does not win the Champions League, who is next?
For me?
Yeah.
Porto.
Okay.
I think in my order for who, obviously Liverpool is going to be one. Porto would be two.
And arguably the least unlikely, or the most unlikely.
No, you know what? I take that back. Ajax would be two.
Okay.
Porto would be three. Four would be Spurs.
Okay.
Because it also means that, well, they're not catching Liverpool for second. They're, I think, 12 points behind. They lose to Southampton over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
So they're now, that's all they have. Right now, Spurs are playing to win the Champions League and not to finish outside the top four.
Which could be interesting as far as their Champions League hopes.
Yeah.
If they're locked in on that.
But they would be fourth for me. Fifth would probably be, I'm trying to think who.
You still have City, Barcelona, Juventus, Man U.
Juventus would be fifth. Sixth would be, Barcelona.
Okay.
Seventh would be City. Eighth would be United.
That's fair.
I think that's my order. So Liverpool, Ajax, Porto, Spurs. Who is fifth? Juventus.
Yeah.
Sixth, Barcelona. Barcelona, City, United.
I'm trying to think of mine.
I want to see in the quarterfinals, I want to see United and City play.
Do you?
Yes, because they also have a regular season game against
each
other.
That time.
And it would be right around the same time.
That would be funny.
And I think United has a chance to
upset City.
I think United has a better chance to upset City in the league than they would in the Champions League. I think City is on a mission in the Champions League. They were humiliated last year by Liverpool.
Bad.
I don't think they want to go out again. And for them, if they were to lose in the Champions League to United, even if they win the league, it means nothing to them.
I think, honestly, United's my, that's who I want to win the most.
Oh, you bastard.
I'm thinking United, Ajax, Porto.
You would rather see United than Ajax when Ajax plays such good football. They're so fun to watch.
I'm going United, Ajax, Porto.
Hey, at least our second and third are the same.
City, maybe.
Over Spurs and Liverpool?
Yeah, I don't like Spurs. No, I'll go Liverpool. Go Liverpool fourth, City five, Spurs six, Barcelona seven, Juventus last.
I wonder what TVs would be.
We'll have them tweet us at OtherFBallPod.
I think TV would go.
Liverpool is eighth for him.
Yeah, obviously, which is a shame because if Everton was in this spot and Liverpool wasn't, Everton would be my number one.
That's nice of you.
I don't have a disdain for Everton. Like, yeah, they're a small club, but they're like
they're an afterthought.
They're like little brother.
Yeah.
Right. To me,
that's like the Browns treating all these teams in the AFC North like they're all they're nothing to us.
There's bullies, right? City and United are bullies. I want to watch them get punched in the face all the time. Liverpool is not a bully, but I could see how some people find them annoying.
Man United got punched in the face for however many matches they had to have.
Yeah,
Jose Mourinho.
But that's their fault. They ran Van Gaal out. They ran Moyes out.
They should have, both of them.
They were better coaches. Hey, you know what? Moyes wasn't terrible. They didn't really give him a chance.
I mean, technically, if you're going to say better coaches, Jose Mourinho is the best coach of all time by his account.
By his account. And he probably was better than both of those guys, although Van Gaal was successful previously.
True.
You know, I mean, but he wasn't Mourinho successful. I don't think he won a Champions League.
Nobody's Mourinho successful.
Three times.
That dude is a character.
Someone's going to hire that guy.
100%. And I actually was listening today, and they were talking about people are – it was reactionary as far as Bayern. People are kind of fed up with Bayern. They have all these older players, blah, blah, blah.
They would never hire Mourinho.
That was who they were mentioning. It was not a rumor. We should hire Mourinho.
I'm trying to think because I don't think PSG would run Thomas Tuchel out.
I don't know. I don't know who would hire him, but it will be classic whoever hires him.
Someone's going to hire him.
Like just a dark cloud. He's like Eeyore.
Well, and you know what's funny? I think the team that has to be the most happy that United is playing well under Solskjaer is Spurs.
Yeah.
Because Pochettino was the guy who I think was rumored to take over
for sure
next season. There's a lot of support for Solskjaer to have the club next season. Pochettino obviously would not leave Spurs. I don't think he's going to leave because I don't think there's any jobs in the Premier League that would open up that are going to be
better than Spurs, but less than.
Now let me ask you this. I don't foresee it happening, but what if Munich came for Klopp?
I don't know. As a Liverpool supporter, what would you say?
You know what? I'll say this. If I knew that Liverpool could hire Pochettino to replace Klopp, I'd be okay with it. Because I think Pochettino is a really good coach.
What if they're going to hire Jose Mourinho?
I don't want to say I'd burn my Liverpool stuff.
You would have no clothes left.
I would be thoroughly, thoroughly disappointed if that was the case. And I think Liverpool fans would revolt. I really do.
Can you imagine? That's like opening up a Christmas present. There's poop inside.
Yeah. You know what that is? That's those jackasses who steal Amazon packages off the
dog poop.
But they find it's like someone's insulin.
Oh my god!
Like, because that happens, right? You read about that.
Does it?
I see it all the time. Like, someone stole stuff off my porch. It's my kid's insulin.
Sick bastards!
Like, if first of all, if you're that guy, you're just as bad as the guy who runs on the pitch and sucker punches somebody.
Yeah, I would say you're worse.
You might even be worse.
I would say you are worse at that.
Because
moment.
you don't know what's in that box, right?
Yeah.
So you're just grabbing it because you're a thief and you're a scumbag. But when you get home and you open it up and you find that it's insulin. Why would you not take it and drop it off back?
Your club hiring Jose Mourinho is literally stealing a package off someone's porch that's full of poop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly
like
what it is.
Like you open it up and you're like, oh, dog poop.
Because you know, but the thing is, it's knowing that there's already dog poop in there and then still going through and doing it because it's like, oh, man, really? Like we know that this guy is crap. Fortunately, I don't think John Henry and the guys at Fenway Sports would ever even considering
maybe Francona.
Yeah, right. Francona could take over.
You know, take him from the Indians. Things are going well for us.
But yeah, I mean I think that's an interesting scenario because I think Klopp would be intrigued by Bayern.
I would have to assume, yeah.
And I because there's no bigger club in Germany as a German manager.
What if Pep went back there?
Oh.
And then Mourinho got hired by Man City.
Oh, I think that would be something that myself and all the Man United fans, we would celebrate that.
Did you say all the Man United fans?
We would celebrate if City.
Oh, I thought you were including yourself as a Man United fan.
No. Myself and all the Man United fans.
Gotcha.
So if that happened, right, Pep goes back to Bayern.
That's one where it's like if he gets hired by Man City, again, there's a 0.1% chance of that happening.
I like the hypothetical though.
That's one where you get signed by your rival and you have to think back like all the bad things you said about them, and now you have to flip flop them.
Yeah, yeah.
No. All along, I was a blue guy.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's funny because what that is, and I hate to bring politics into it, but if you remember when Trump was running, all the Republicans hated him.
Yeah.
They all said all these awful things about him.
Yeah.
Now that he's the president, they're all embracing him.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, well, you know what? And what would be funny is if Man United gets bought by those Saudi guys, right? Isn't the one guy that's rumored to, I think it's like $6 billion or something that they want to offer for United? All the Man United fans, they give the City fans
crap
a very difficult time because of the fact that they're owned by some basically trillionaires. I don't know if there's any trillionaires on this planet, but you get the guys
close enough.
Guys who print their own money
in
United Arab Emirates. And so if they were purchased by a Saudi, it basically would be the same thing.
So we can close on this. It's not soccer related, but it was just reminded of me. Who's the best point guard of all time?
Best point guard of all time.
Yeah. Shout out to Khaled, who is my boy and is also he's actually a Chelsea fan. I told him we'll have him on sometime.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a Chelsea fan. He's the site editor for Chelsea's fan-sided site, and he helps run the fan-side soccer division. But he is a huge Golden State Warriors fan. So as you can imagine, him and I have had some issues over the past few years.
I'm sure, yeah. Now he's come out on the right side of those issues, unfortunately for you.
Except 2016 when they blew a 3-1 lead. But he was...
Draymond Green.
Yeah. He said, he retweeted somebody that said an unpopular Steph Curry opinion is that he is the best point guard of all time.
I don't think so.
I said, I thought he was joking. I actually said, you don't believe this. And he tried to contend that Steph Curry is the best point guard of all time.
You know what? It's something
top two for me is Magic Johnson and Stockton.
Yeah, John Stockton to me is a guy who will never get the credit he deserves because he wasn't a scorer.
Yeah, but he's a point guard. And if you're looking at a point guard.
He was the prototypical point guard.
Steph averages like 5 assists a game and is poor defensively. Khaled argued that they don't need to hide Steph defensively. They just have the ability to, so they do it. But they need to hide him defensively.
I don't.
He's built like a high schooler.
Now, he has changed the game.
Oh, he's – and I completely relent. He is the best shooter ever.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody play the game like him.
Best shooter ever, changed the game, not the best point guard ever.
No.
I can't give you that.
I don't know if I disagree. I mean, to me, Magic Johnson is one of those guys who – he was just so versatile, he could play anything.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy played center in the NBA Finals, and they won. So, to me, that says that he not only is he maybe the best point guard ever, he could possibly be in the discussion for best player ever.
Yeah.
Just because he could do so much on the court, right? Like LeBron, to me, LeBron reminds me so much of Magic because he's not Jordan-esque, yeah. Right?
Kobe was closer to Jordan.
Yeah, because he was an assassin, right? Kobe was cold-blooded.
And kind of a dick.
I don't think LeBron has that cold-bloodedness in him.
Even though he has higher percentages and game-winning shots, but I
yeah, like he doesn't have that arrogance that where he's like telling the guy, here, come out and guard me. I'm gonna shoot this and I'm gonna drain it right in front of you. Like he doesn't have that.
As they said, so LeBron passed Jordan last week for all-time points. Shout out to Akron, Ohio. And they said, how crazy is it? He's a pass-first player and passed Michael Jordan points.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
LeBron he's incredible. He is. To me, he's so freakish in a lot of ways that it's so hard to not really – like, he's not my favorite player, but I appreciate what he does
off the court.
To me, he's an A-plus guy off the court.
Mm-hmm.
Involved in so many things for young kids.
Not afraid to speak out.
He's not afraid to speak out if he sees some injustice.
Which Jordan was often accused of being afraid to speak out.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, like with Jordan, he donated $1 million to I don't think it was Black Lives Matter, but he donated $1 million to some like charity, and then he donated $1 million to like a police charity, which to me is cool. It's like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah.
But he's not really taking a stance.
No, and they always said he was not one that. He wasn't going to risk his brand.
And I see that, because I don't think...
Neither of us have brands that
are that risk. There's nobody...
That's risk-worthy.
There's nobody to me who can ever relate to Michael Jordan.
No.
Because I remember when...
Not even his kids. Yeah. They were horrendous at basketball.
Well, he had the one kid who played at Central Florida.
The other one played at Illinois, I think.
I think so.
Jeffrey and Marcus, I think?
I think so, yeah. But, you'll never... To me, you'll just never see a guy who elevates a sport to the level that he elevated the NBA to.
So tying it back to soccer before we close, who's the closest to MJ, soccer wise?
Well, I would like to say Pele because I think
Pele to me was too much of a prodigy.
Well, and the problem is Pele also played so long ago, that nobody can really recall saying how big he was for the sport.
Pele is like Will Chamberlain.
I think to me the guy who really stands out would be Maradona.
That's a good one.
Because I think...
What about Brazilian Ronaldo?
The real Ronaldo?
Yeah.
I don't think so because I think soccer was popular already in the United States when he played.
Maradona is a good one.
To me, Maradona was the guy because he won the World Cup. He was the hand of God, right? Everyone remembers that. But off the field, he was such a disaster.
But Jordan wasn't that big of a disaster off the field.
No, but I think he made the sport relevant because...
Both of them surely have... Had some gambling issues.
Yes, and Maradona Coke issue.
Yeah.
But...
Coca-Cola.
Yes. not from Colombia.
Yeah.
But, I'm trying to think. I want to say maybe not worldwide, but in the United States, I think you can make the case that Landon Donovan is that guy.
Yeah. That's not that's
And even though he's not a even though he's not American, I would also say David Beckham.
Beckham is a good one.
By the way, did you happen to see the video from James Corden?
Yes, I did. I actually watched it with my wife last night.
I watched. Someone sent it to me on Twitter.
It was classic.
And we'll set it up for you. You should check it out. But James Corden and David Beckham are really good friends.
Yeah.
And I think Corden's actually a Liverpool fan, if I'm not mistaken.
Fair enough.
I think he's from New Zealand, though. I don't think he's British. I think he's from New Zealand. But by the way, you know who else is a Liverpool fan?
LeBron.
James Bond and LeBron James and Mike Myers. Yeah, that's right. LeBron actually does own part of Liverpool.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he pays attention, but I know he went to a game when they played in Boston. And, you know, so James Corden brings in David Beckham. And everyone remembers that awful sculpture of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
There was cross-eyed.
There was a bad one. Was it Julie Foudy?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was her too. Yeah.
It was either Julie Foudy or Brandi Chastain. It was bad, though. It looked like more like John Daly than.
And by the way, I recently went to the West Coast Conference basketball tournament, which is here in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And Santa Clara played. Santa Clara actually has a pretty good soccer tradition.
Steve Nash?
Well, Steve Nash went to Santa Clara, but Brandi Chastain went to Santa Clara as well.
Nice.
Did not know that.
No, right.
So we'll set up. So everyone remembers that awful sculpture of Cristiano Ronaldo. Well, James Corden decided to mess with Beckham. LA Galaxy were going to have, or they are going to have, a statue unveiled outside their.
They did.
They did already.
I saw it this weekend.
So they're going to have.
Where Sean fought.
Outside?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool. And Carson?
Yeah.
I figured it was like the Inglewood Forum where they fought. But, but they had the statue, and they brought in Beckham to see the statue. Well, Corden played a prank on him where he made sure that the statue was. Had this huge ass,
huge chin, long arms.
Yeah, goofy arms.
The eyes were like, I think it was like a crazy eye.
Probably, yeah. And Beckham was like, wait a minute, I'm not.
He was so polite.
He was so nice
for
about the fact that he hated it.
Yeah, he was like, that's not exactly what this.
And then at the very end, like. my favorite part is they bring the forklift driver out where he's going to lift it up and move it out to the front of the stadium.
Yeah.
And instead he knocks it over into a loading dock, and the thing shatters. And Beckham walks up to me and goes, I think you've actually done me a favor.
Yeah.
So
he was so upset about the grotesque chin and just horrible look
of the statue.
He was actually embarrassed that his kids were going to see it.
Yeah.
He's like, thankfully my kids won't be here because they're going to be horrendous. They were going to be horrified by that.
My mom and dad are coming. Posh Spice is coming. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Big shout out to Showtime, Sean Porter, WBC. What is it, welterweight champ?
Welterweight champ.
Best in the world.
Yeah.
What do you think? Pound for pound, he's up there.
Got to be up there.
Hopefully, he gets his date with Pacquiao, Errol Spence, or Keith Thurman. I'd like to see him knock all the... I don't want to see him knock out Pacquiao. The other two guys, I could care less.
Knock
Keith Thurman out. Knock out Errol Spence.
All of them.
TV should be back next week.
Let's hope.
I think he should be. He's probably taking shots off his face right now.
Boss, yeah.
That did not sound appropriate. We should let you know he's playing in a soccer game
as
the moment.
As a goalkeeper.
Yes.
Hopefully he loses.
Yeah, like Everton did to Newcastle over the weekend.
Damn right. Good way to close it out.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next week. Chris Chapman, Carson Merck. Where can they find us?
At Other F-Ball Pod on Twitter, Stitcher, Spotify, LESportsNetwork.com.
BGN Network.
Yeah, BGN.FM.
Sponsored by?
Roughneck Scars, roughneckscars.com. I think that's where we're all at.
Yeah.
Apple Podcast. That was Apple. The last one.
Yeah. And there's something else I wanted to say. Oh, Twitter, Other FB Pod.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, which my Facebook has been down all day. I haven't been able to access it. So
yeah, we've been down. Social media has been down.
It's rough. Twitter works.
That's all that matters. Follow us.
Other FB Pod on Twitter. We will talk to you. Oh, we have an Instagram too.
At Other F Ball Podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, everyone. Peace out.
Peace.